We all know what it's like, right? You're busy trying to keep up with everything that's going on, but really getting informed, like deeply informed, can feel like a whole other job. So you've given us some material, something interesting to really take a look at.
Right, it's Outlandish Meme, Hegseth Mania, No Agenda Newsletter, 2025, BUD03 with 29.pdf. You know John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one, it's, well, there are a few things they're really zoning in on that I think are worth taking a closer look at, to really get what they're trying to point out.
Okay, so they talk quite a bit about contributions,
So.
support for their show, No Agenda. And specifically this time around, it seems like they're talking about a dip, a recent dip.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing that really jumped out at me was the fact that they mentioned a record low for those contributions, over $50. And it was, it was last Thursday. They haven't seen anything like that since before COVID. And they specifically point out that it wasn't, a holiday or a weekend or anything like that. So it does, it kind of makes you think about how listener support for these independent media outlets actually works.
It does. And then they go into like a lot of detail about all the different ways that people can contribute. It's more than just a simple donation button.
It really is. I mean, they've got this thing, the No Agenda Commodore ship,
Oh,
and they
yeah.
say that it comes with an 8.5 by 14-inch proclamation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of it's almost like they're offering something tangible, right? Almost like a badge of honor, for a certain level of support within their community.
Right, and that's a good incentive too to give at a higher level if you get something something you can actually have. And then there are the value for value contributions, right?
Yeah.
Which are, I guess, more typical through PayPal and Stripe.
Right, exactly.
And I noticed they make it a point of saying Apple Pay via Stripe on
Oh,
iPhones,
interesting. Yeah.
which is interesting.
Well,
It's like a tiny little detail, but it speaks to them wanting to make it as easy as possible for people to contribute, I guess.
yeah, exactly. Anything that streamlines the process makes it more likely people will do it. And then, for those who really want to go above and beyond, they talk about becoming an executive producer,
Right.
and that gets you forever credit. That's pretty unique. I mean, it's basically a permanent acknowledgement, right, of their significant support. Almost like investing in the show's legacy.
Yeah, it definitely elevates it. Beyond just a financial transaction,
Yeah.
it becomes, a real connection. But they still offer those traditional methods. Like if you want to send a check, they've got a PO box in California.
Yeah.
They even mentioned like there are systems that will generate and send checks for you, and then they'll even handle foreign currency checks.
Wow.
So, which again speaks to a dedicated and diverse audience that they must have.
Yeah, they're really reaching out, aren't they? But it's what's interesting is they're really emphasizing these recurring donations. I mean, they clearly see that as a foundation for their financial stability, and they highlight these different amounts, So like $33.33 a month.
Right.
That seems to be the most popular choice these days. And it's interesting because it used to be $11.11 a month was the favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's interesting how those preferences and maybe even the show's needs have evolved over time. And then they've got this whole range where, so they've got the micro $4 a week, they say, or 75 cents an hour.
Yeah.
Then they've got the longer term $50 a month for this knighthood layaway,
Right.
but it's over 20
Right,
months.
it's a commitment.
Yeah. So, and of course they'll take anything,
Yeah.
People feel they can contribute. But, if we zoom out a little bit, I mean, they make it very clear in the newsletter. They say No Agenda is your true independent media. And that's really the point they keep hammering, that their funding comes solely from listeners.
Right.
And that's what frees them from the influence of these corporations and advertisers.
Right.
So this model, this direct listener support, it's really fundamental to who they are and how they approach the content they create.
And it really positions the call for contributions as essential to maintaining their independence and their perspective. Now they pivot and they go to this developing news story
Yes.
about Pete Hegseth, and they call it the Signal story.
Right.
And this seems to be where they see this bias, right? This agenda at play in the mainstream media.
Yeah, this is where things get interesting. They frame this as this possible effort by liberals and by the Washington establishment, the left-leaning media, to get Hegseth out of the Defense Department. They even bring up the idea that that some people within the Trump administration might be involved without even knowing it.
Yeah, that's a big one. So what are the details here? What's going on with this private chat?
Well, the key thing that they highlight is this alleged involvement of someone with the initials JG in this private chat. And but they say a crucial question remains unanswered.
Okay.
What is the full identity of this JG? They say the press just isn't asking that fundamental question.
That is a pretty big oversight if that's true. So
Yeah.
they don't give any ideas of who this JG might be.
Well, they say that when they checked employees, consultants, initially they didn't find anyone with those initials. The closest they could come up with was U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer. But they question how likely it is that he would have been involved in this kind of private discussion. So, it really raises this question about whether the reporting that we're getting about this story is actually accurate and complete.
So are they saying that the narrative that's being pushed out there about this whole thing is incomplete or even misleading because we don't know who this JG is?
That seems to be what they're getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah, they point out that, the way it's being presented, it's like you've got one side that's talking about incompetence, and then
Right.
you've got the other side that's trying to downplay it.
Right.
But, the newsletter itself doesn't really come down one way or the other on what the chat means. They're really focused on these gaps in reporting and what the motivations might be behind the different ways the media is covering it.
Yeah, it really highlights how different outlets can focus on these tiny little details and create completely different interpretations of the same event. And it makes you think about, what questions aren't they asking? And why aren't they asking those questions? And they had this really weird thing they mentioned about Hegseth's family. They say that all his boys, they wear bow ties and blue shorts.
Yeah, that one really stuck out to me.
It seems very out of place in a political newsletter.
It's almost like a random observation.
It is.
You have to wonder if it's meant to create a certain image or evoke a certain feeling,
Yeah.
but it's not really clear, is it, what the relevance is to the whole Hegseth story. It definitely makes you think about the choices they're making.
It does. It does. So then they kind of wrap up and they mentioned memes of the week and hypocrite of the week.
Right. It seems like those are regular features of their content.
Yeah. And I guess mentioning memes of the week, that kind of reinforces this independent, maybe even unconventional way they approach media, right? Using humor and visuals to connect with their audience.
And then Hypocrite of the Week suggests this kind of critical, maybe even satirical take on events and people in the news.
So basically, it seems like the main point they're trying to get across is this commitment to being an independent media source, and it's directly supported by listeners, which allows them to offer a different perspective on these stories, like the one with Pete Hegseth, and they really point out what they see as the unanswered questions, the potential media biases.
I think that's a really good summary. I mean, they really highlight how their financial model, really affects their approach to news and analysis. And it raises a really interesting point for us to consider. With these different narratives that are out there about this Hegseth story and this big question mark over who JG is, what might be the motivations behind how different outlets are choosing to frame this? It really pushes us to think critically about who is telling the story, why are they telling it that way? It reminds us that we need to really engage with information carefully, consider all these different perspectives, and ask those unanswered questions ourselves. And we can even do this in our local communities, right? Apply the same kind of thinking to what's happening in our own backyard.
Exactly. Think and act locally.
If you find value in our show, please support us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. Link in show notes.
And that's it for this deep dive.
We'll be back next time with more.
Until then,
Take care.
bye.